Hi, I'm Leah Canland, and with my husband Steve, you're listening to Our Insightful Adventures, a show that chronicles our travels around Australia and the savvy, scientific, and scenic things we experience along the way.
So we have visited every state in Australia, all the capital cities. And so today we're going to talk about our favorite beaches and bushwalks that we did in all of Australia.
Yeah, we feel like we're somewhat of an expert now that we've traveled all seven states. And so we just wanted to share with our audience a few of our favorites, knowing full well that we didn't see everything that there is to offer, especially taking into consideration that we were traveling in the wet season on the northern end of Australia. So we know we missed some stuff, but there is so much to see in Australia.
Yes, so much. So yeah, with that caveat, we're going to start with our favorite beaches.
So we picked our top eight beaches, and in no particular order, we're just sort of going to talk about the beaches in the order that we visited them. And so we're going to start with our top Western Australia beaches. And maybe we're a little biased. I'm not sure. That's WA is where we spent the majority of our time when we were living in Australia. But out of our top eight beaches, half of them happen to be in Western Australia.
I don't think we're biased. I think Western Australia does, in fact, have the best beaches. These are... So the top eight were just like the ones that stood out as just like awesome, awesome. But WA still has just like great, just normal beaches. Better beaches than any other state in Australia.
Absolutely. So if you want to come to Australia and experience the beaches, if you can tackle WA, you'll have seen the best beaches that the country has to offer, we think.
Yes, and... better beaches than any beach I've visited in the U.S. as well. I can't say the world, but I can safely say best beaches in Australia and the U.S.
Yeah. So one of our favorite beaches in Western Australia was on the south coast of Western Australia in the town of Esperance, and it's called Twilight Beach. And it's just the local beach in Esperance.
Yeah, it's a beautiful beach. White sand, beautiful water, excellent swimming beach.
Yeah, awesome. It has this cool rock out in the middle you can swim to. And if you're, I don't know, athletic enough, you can climb up and have some fun on that rock. And I've heard there's sort of a whirlpool type of current that goes in part of the beach, and you can sort of get washed in this washing machine.
Yeah, I don't know. We couldn't find it, nor do we like swim out to really try and find it. But it is a very pretty beach.
Yes. So another of our, so that was number one. Number two on our list is down in Denmark, Western Australia. And we sort of lumped together Green's Pool and Elephant Cove, those two beaches.
Yeah, and they're kind of pretty much at the same location. So that's why we lumped them together. But again, really awesome swimming beaches and some really awesome like rock formations. It's called Elephant Cove because there's some rocks there that kind of look like big elephants. And so they call them elephant rocks.
Yeah, I can see the elephants when I go, depending on the angle and the way the light's playing on it. But that beach, Green's Pool and Elephant Cove, those are the iconic beaches in Denmark. And they're just a lot of fun. Again, it's on the south coast of Western Australia, so the water is colder than what you would hit going up, you know, past the Tropic of Capricorn. But still, it's, even though the water's a little bit cold, you can jump off the rocks. And like Steve was saying, the water's clear. And since it's more remote, these areas we're talking about, it's never too crowded the way it gets over on the east coast.
No, yeah, they're... yeah, nice.
Yeah. The third beach that we really enjoyed is Five Finger Reef up in Coral Bay.
Yeah, and that beach was so awesome. You have to either walk to it or have a 4x vehicle that can get to it and put your tires really low because it's just sand. But remote, because it's hard to get to. And I really like that because that's the first time I saw a sea turtle when we were snorkeling on that beach.
Oh yeah. So up in Ningaloo Reef, it's this fringing reef that extends really far down the WA coastline. And so there's two towns that sort of that you can access Ningaloo Reef from the easiest, and one is Coral Bay that we're talking about right now. And Ningaloo Reef is gorgeous. It's had some bleaching recently as well, but despite that, you can still see amazing coral and fish and the sea turtle that Steve was talking about. And it was awesome. We had pretty much this tropical beach all to ourselves, and there's just nothing like Ningaloo Reef. There really isn't.
No, there really is not.
And then on that same note, another beach further north from Coral Bay in the town of close to the town of Exmouth is Turquoise Bay on the Ningaloo Reef as well.
Yeah, again, it's another awesome snorkeling spot, but super clear water, not a ton of people. I mean, this is like on the Ningaloo Reef, which is just a fantastic reef, and the amount of people you have there, there's still people there, but not enough, like not nearly, there's not a ton of people.
No, there's not. And so what's cool about a fringing reef is that you just walk into the water and swim out a few feet, and there you have tropical coral, and it's amazing. And Turquoise Bay is a drift snorkel, and it actually has a pretty strong current, and so you want to walk pretty far up the beach and hop in the water, and there's no need to kick at all. The current just takes you down, and you float by all these beautiful coral and fish, and you need to make sure that you exit the water before you round the point. But other than that, the drift snorkel at Turquoise Bay is the most popular, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and easy to get to.
Yeah, so those were the four beaches in Western Australia that really stuck out to us. But like we said, there's so many others to choose from. Fifth on our list of amazing Australia beaches was over in Tasmania. We went to the Bay of Fires.
Yeah, and the Bay of Fires isn't necessarily one specific beach. It's kind of like this coastline in Tasmania. And so there's different specific beaches that you can get to that are pretty remote. You can have the beach all to yourself. There's a lot of interesting rock formations and some like whirlpools you can kind of jump in that get filled up at high tide. So we like that one because it's beautiful and you can kind of find your own specific small beach and just kind of be by yourself.
Yeah, so what we ended up liking is Sloop Reef. We hung out there for a little while. There's a little sandy patch, and that what Steve was talking about is referred to as mermaid pool, where you can sort of, it fills in at high tide, you can jump in at low tide, and yeah, just kind of like a choose your own adventure beach. You just sort of drive and walk, and it's called Bay of Fires because the rocks are, or well, no, it's called Bay of Fires because the explorers, I was gonna say driving by, the explorers like sailing past saw the Aboriginal people's fires on the coastline and called it Bay of Fires. But really, the rocks are covered in this really vibrant red orange lichen, so that kind of adds to the beauty of it as well.
Yeah.
And then next on our list of beaches is another beach in Tasmania, another very iconic Tasmanian beach called Wineglass Bay.
And Wineglass Bay is so pretty. It's a hike to get to it.
I think it took us about an hour one way to finally get down to the beach.
Yeah, probably at least. So it's probably at least a couple kilometers down to the beach. And the water here in Tasmania is super cold.
It is. And I mean, both of these beaches are on the east coast of Tasmania, and those waters are a little bit nicer to swim in compared to the west side. So they're a little bit warmer, but they're still cold.
They're still cold. Like, you almost need a wetsuit even in the summer, which we were when we were visiting Tasmania. Like, you can jump in without a wetsuit, but it's jump in for a quick swim and then get out because it's cold. But it makes it for a very pretty beach, and it's still nice enough in the summer to lay out, and the water is still super pretty and clear and a beautiful turquoise blue.
Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have the energy to make it all the way down to the beach itself, just walking to the lookout is amazing. You'll never see anything like it. It's this bay, and it's rimmed with just amazingly white sand, and it's just a beauty to behold, like a lot of Australian beaches.
Yeah, it is quite nice.
Number 7 on our list of favorite Australian beaches is, it was called Caves Beach in New South Wales. And like the name alludes to, there's this network of beach caves on the south end of the beach.
Yeah, it was cool. Just a bunch of, we've seen sea caves before, but these ones.
And they're always amazing, though. Like, Phillip Island has amazing sea caves, and there was another beach. We went to Myrtle Beach, again in New South Wales, that had sea caves, but sea caves.
I mean, this beach, one was covered in sea caves, and the sea caves were huge. You could, normally sea caves, you kind of have to, like, crawl or hunch over. These ones were giant caverns you could stand up in, and they were connected. And just a bunch of sea caves all up and down the beach.
Yeah, it was very cool. And again, yeah, like with the small sea caves, you're usually like dodging spider webs and stuff, and you're not sure what's there. But it was just an amazing network of huge caves, and at low tide, they're super accessible. And it was just a beach I had never experienced before. You know?
No.
It was beautiful.
It was pretty.
And then our last beach to wrap up this list is Whitehaven Beach on Whitsunday Island,
which is part of the Great Barrier Reef National Park. And what I thought was so cool about this beach is it kind of changes between low and high tide. Like at low tide, you can see more of the sand, and it looks like it like swirls out in the bay. And then at high tide, water comes in, and it's just this beautiful turquoise, kind of almost green, clear, clear.
It was
green.
Like, I mean, we've seen a lot of beautiful blue waters, but the water just around the Whitsunday Islands in general were so blue, a special kind of blue, we think.
Yeah, I've never seen water like that. Normally water is like pretty and blue close to shore, but this water was this pretty color even out in super deep water too.
Yeah. And when we were at Whitehaven Beach, we saw little juvenile lemon sharks swimming around. That was cool. We were on a boat for 3 days, 2 nights to snorkel around the Great Barrier Reef. And so on the boat, we saw sea turtles. How can you adequately explain a tropical island in the Great Barrier Reef? You know, it's how you think it is. It's amazing and gorgeous and remote and blue. And the Whitsunday Islands, if you pick any island, I mean, we snorkeled around Black Island and Blue Pearl, and obviously hung out at Whitehaven Beach. But if you pick any island in the Whitsundays, you can't go wrong.
No, can't go wrong.
So those were our top beaches of Australia for us. And now we want to go through our favorite bushwalks in Australia. Again, just picking 8. Not in any particular order, only in the order of the way that we experience them.
Yeah, so we'll just start with, again, in Western Australia. And I think we'll start in Carrageenie.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Carrageenie. If I could probably fill up our list with 8 hikes in Carrageenie alone. Like, there is something so special about Carrageenie. I'll love it forever. But yeah, 2 of our 8 hikes were in Carrageenie National Park, which is inland in the north part of Western Australia. And number one on our bushwalk list is the walk in Weno Gorge going to Handrail Pool. And this walk takes about an hour. It's not very long. It's only a kilometer return, which is about 0.6 of a mile. And what's cool about Handrail Pool in Weno Gorge is that, I mean, besides the pool itself, which is amazing, but it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah, you just kind of come up on it. And it's not very long of a hike. It is kind of difficult because it's not like walking on a dirt trail. You kind of have to climb a little bit on rocks, but it's not
technical.
They're
like these polished rocks. They're so smooth. You could do it barefoot, you know, like at most points. And yeah, you're just sort of in these like narrow slots in this gorge. And then all of a sudden, it just like opens up into these gorgeous freshwater pools.
Yeah, super awesome, super pretty. Definitely my favorite hike in Western Australia, probably.
Whoa, big claim. We did a lot of hikes, but I'd believe it. It was amazing. And Handrail Pool is named that because you have to descend a handrail to get into the pool. And we had the pool all to ourselves. I mean, we were just swimming around. It's also a pool that you can abseil or rappel into, which is very cool, which just goes to show how high these gorge walls are. You're just in this secluded freshwater pool in this gorge. I can't explain it better. Just check out our Instagram for pictures.
Yes.
So the second bushwalk we're talking about again is in Carrageenie, and it is Kermit's Pool in Hancock Gorge. And this bushwalk was a little bit more technical, I'd say. It takes about 2 hours to do and is 1.5 kilometer return, which is about 1 mile. And I say technical because it involved a little bit more climbing over things. You sort of pass through a part of the hike called the amphitheater and another part of the hike called the spider walk. Do you remember the spider walk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. You just sort of had to splay out your arms and legs and sort of awkwardly shuffle through a narrow gorge.
Yeah, that is a pretty hike. I fell and hurt my back, so that's not like a hike that's like, oh, that was awesome because I hurt my back
the
and it hurt for like a week later. So
yeah, and I think that we did both of those in one day. Did we? Actually, I think we did like three of these hikes in one day. And you spend hours there, you know? I mean, that's the times I'm telling you how long it takes there. That's not really taking into account if you want to stay there for twice the amount of time it takes you to walk there.
Yeah.
But man, you get so hot just walking through these gorges, and like the thing you want to do most is hop in these pools, and there they are, you know, just waiting to be played in. It was awesome. So yeah, Handrail Pool and Kermit's Pool. Those are two of our favorite hikes in Western Australia.
For sure.
So another favorite bushwalk that we experienced, probably one of the most informative, was the Mala Walk in Uluru National Park.
Yeah, which is in Northern Territory. Mm-hmm. And that it's not a very long hike, and it's pretty easy, just like on flat ground or on boardwalk.
It's yeah, so
like
it's
2 kilometers, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a 2 kilometer return, which is about 1.2 miles.
Yeah. But you do it with the park ranger, and the park ranger changes every time. But they share so much awesome information about Uluru, about the Aboriginal people that call it sacred and call it home. And yeah, it's probably the most insightful, I guess, or information gathering hike that we did.
Yeah, it definitely confirmed our decision to not climb to the top of Uluru. And these ranger-led mala walks, they do daily, and it's in an effort to change the focus of the visitors that come to Uluru. It really is a huge service that they do to sort of open up their culture to so many outsiders. And if you guys haven't had a chance yet, we definitely encourage listening to our episode when we talk about visiting Uluru and Catajuda, because it was so amazing. And I can't say enough about it. The hike itself wasn't as, you know, maybe breathtaking in views as Karajini, but it was so deep and meaningful, you know?
Yeah, it definitely made a great and lasting impact on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another hike that we...
So what number are we at right now?
So those were three. So now we're on number four. So this is halfway through our list. This is, again, another hike or bushwalk in the Northern Territory, and it's called Kings Canyon Rim Walk. And it's located in Kings Canyon, also known as Wataka National Park. And this hike is actually kind of long. It was about 6 kilometers, which is 3.6 miles, and it takes about 3.5 hours to do that.
Yeah, and this is about 5 hours drive from Uluru, so still in the middle of Australia, and it's super hot, so you have to do it in the early morning. Otherwise, it's just way too hot, because it's just exposed the whole time. But you walk around the rim, this gorge, and you can at one point you do get down kind of to some waters. You can't jump into the waters on this hike, because the Aboriginal people there, it's a sacred site for them, so they ask you not to jump in. But it is a very pretty scenic hike.
I mean, the entire hike, the whole rim of the canyon that you walk, is just amazing views. And what Steve is talking about is the Garden of Eden is what Westerners have called it. Obviously, it's not called that to the Aboriginal people that consider it sacred. But from the canyon rim, you can look down into this awesome water pool, and you can climb down there. You can walk around. And what's really cool, what I really liked about Kings Canyon, the rim walk, is that there are just hundreds of these domed shape rock formations. And Steve and I, we didn't get it. There's a national park in Western Australia called Pernalulu, and they have these similar rock formations called Bungle Bungles. And since it was the off season, we didn't have a chance to visit there. But at Wataka National Park, it's awesome because you just get to walk among hundreds of these things. And to the Aboriginal people, these are the Qual ancestors.
Yeah, super pretty, super cool. And yeah, definitely worth it.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to keep emphasizing that it's amazing. But
it is amazing. but
we'll move on. Okay, so the next bushwalk, number five on our list, is Cradle Mountain.
And Cradle Mountain is found in Tasmania. It's the fifth largest or tallest mountain in Tasmania. It sits 1,545 meters or about 5,069 feet above sea level. It's one of the most popular tourist destinations in Tasmania. We can do it on several different routes. The most popular route is about 15 kilometers or just over 9 miles. When we did it, we attached a couple other hikes around the area. So we probably hiked over 20 kilometers and probably did closer to about 13 miles.
Oh, man. And I felt every single one of those Ks.
So, but you don't have to connect all of them. You can just do the hike, and at the top it is pretty much just climbing over giant boulders and rocks. So at the top it is a pretty difficult hike, but super beautiful. You get a 360 degree view of the valley and mountains, and there's a very beautiful lake right there in the valley.
Yeah, so the route that we did, in case people are curious, I recommend the route that we did, even though it just about killed me. we went sort of counterclockwise, and we went by way of summiting Hanson Peak first, and then heading to Cradle Mountain, and then coming back by Dove Lake and there's like a boat shed there. So by that route that takes you by the boat shed at Dove Lake. And again, that's not the most popular way to go, because it is, you have to climb one mountain before you get to Cradle Mountain. But it was the most beautiful day. It's very, this hike is very weather permitting. And so we totally lucked out on the most gorgeous day.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently sometimes you can't even see the mountain because of the weather that rolls in. But yeah, very, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So next on our list, number 6, is in the state of Victoria, and it was the Grand Canyon hike close to Blackheath, which is located in the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, so the Blue Mountains are just west of Sydney, and this Grand Canyon hike, if you start from Evans Lookout, it's about 6.3 kilometers, or that's what, like 3-4-ish miles. Again, when we did it, we tacked on a couple other hikes, and so we probably did probably, again, closer to 10 kilometers.
Yeah, it took us like 5 hours, but what we did was unnecessary. We decided you shouldn't, it's not worth connecting all those walks.
So if you do it, it's better just to do the Grand Canyon loop. And it was just so cool. It was like walking through a fairyland, just like really green, and you're in a canyon, and there's water, kind of small waterfalls or water seeping through the rocks, and just
lizard sunbathing, and yeah, lots of ferns and gnarled roots, and lizard sunbathing and birds chirping. And we've done a lot of rainforest walks in this part of Australia. There's many, many gorgeous rainforest walks, but this was the top for us.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, lots of waterfalls, little ones, big ones. Remember that huge just cavern that you could see, you could clip into abseil down, you know?
Yeah, there was a couple abseiling or rappelling things if you had the equipment and knew what you're rappelling into.
You'd need a torch for sure, a really powerful one.
And probably a guide. But yeah, some awesome stuff to do there.
Yeah.
So the next hike that we did is Wentworth Falls in Victoria. And Wentworth Falls is a 3-tiered waterfall. It's 187 meters or 614 feet from top to bottom. And the way you can, again, all these hikes have so many other attachments that you can do to them. This hike is, you can go to a viewing point, which is just over a kilometer. We went all the way down.
All the way down, all the tiers.
All the tiers. And so we probably did another 5-ish Ks, I think, from top to bottom.
These are like vertical Ks too.
Yeah. And so I don't remember how many steps we counted them.
2,606 steps. These are just like a vertical step, not your actual, you know, like walking on a level ground.
Yeah, these are steps that were actually carved out of the rock to form a staircase step.
Yeah, sometimes ladder rungs, but it's hard to describe, but just thousands of steps going down into the waterfall. But it was worth every step.
It was worth it. It was a super pretty waterfall. And when it rains, it just gushes over. So, yeah, awesome waterfall.
Yeah, and this was also in the Blue Mountains, like that Grand Canyon hike. And there are several, several other hikes to do in the Blue Mountains. We just didn't have time to do them, and we just lucked out that the hikes that we did do were some of our favorites.
Yeah, that's true. And the last bushwalk that we did was in Queensland at Finch Hatton Gorge, called the Wheel of Fire Falls. And it's called the Wheel of Fire Falls because apparently this tree or flower, when it blooms this bright red, and it kind of splays out in a circle, and it just blooms everywhere. And so it's named after this flower that blooms.
It's a tree, I believe. Yeah, that sort of like lines the gorge, I guess.
Yeah. It wasn't in bloom when we were there, unfortunately, but still a very pretty rainforest walk. And when you walk, there's a couple waterfalls. And one is just a cl like a 2 kilometers, and another one is like 4 kilometers. And we did both. So we probably did, again, somewhere between 5 to 7 kilometers that day, which is, again, about 4 or 5 miles. Just super pretty. You can swim in these deep pools after the waterfall goes, and you can swim in these pools. And the hikes really weren't that difficult. They were pretty uneven ground and fairly easy to do.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the trail. It was a lot of fun. Some of it was boardwalk. You had part of it, you had to actually cross the creek, which was really fun. Part of it was, yeah, just walking over, steps. But you take a detour to Araluen Falls, which is a really cool waterfall. And I mean, you're not supposed to jump off the high cliffs, but if you're careful, you can jump off and it's a lot of fun. And then just walking to the Wheel of Fire pool, where there's these two other waterfalls. Along the way, there were just so many different kinds of waterfalls. I loved it. Like, you're just walking upstream, and so you're just passing waterfall after waterfall, and then you arrive to the Wheel of Fire, and there's like two more waterfalls. I couldn't get enough of it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's super pretty. It's super awesome. Yeah, so these were just our favorite beaches and bushwalks in all of Australia. Clearly, there is so much more that we didn't do, and so many other things that we did do that were still super awesome and that we really enjoyed. But in an effort to kind of narrow down some of our favorites, these were some of our favorite beaches and bushwalks.
So thanks for listening this week. You can always find us at Insightful Adventures on Instagram. It's a great place to look at pictures of some of our favorite places in Australia and also to reach out to us and ask us any questions.